Good morning. My name is Kathleen Keenest. I am the gender advisor in the Gender and Peacebuilding Initiative here at the Institute of Peace. I am not Jenny Bouvier. She extends her apologies, but a last-minute meeting came up in which she has to attend, and so she conveys her apologies, and we will move forward with a very interesting morning event. I want to recognize that this program this morning is being sponsored by the Grant and Fellowship Program here at the Institute of Peace. If you don't know about the grants we give or the fellowships we offer, I would encourage you to check online. There are many opportunities that may be of interest to you. This is also, in part, the Center for Mediation and Conflict Resolution, the Columbia Conflict Team at USIP, and so we are very busy here. This program this morning is also in partnership with the U.S. Office on Columbia and Refugees International. We welcome our panelists here today, particularly those who have come a long way to join us, and I will introduce them in just a minute. The topic of today's discussion, displacement in Colombia, is one of the most serious humanitarian crises in this hemisphere, and needless to say, for many, highly invisible. It has not been given the attention it deserves, especially when we consider that more than 4 million internally displaced Colombians, or an average of 250,000 of people annually, and almost 500,000 more Colombians are forced to flee their national borders in search of safety and security. Colombia now ranks just behind Sudan in the numbers of people displaced by conflict. Women, youth, Afro-Colombians, and indigenous communities have been disproportionately affected by the conflict and by the displacement. Today, the panel will look at the gendered dimensions of Colombia's internal armed conflict and the specific impacts that conflict, violence, and displacement have had upon Colombian women. Panelists will discuss the efforts of civil society organizations to secure legal protections for the displaced population and to work for their implementation. These include recent constitutional court rulings that call for the government to make greater efforts to protect and promote the rights and needs of the displaced, including by prosecuting cases of rape committed by armed actors against displaced women. In today's discussion, Displacement in Colombia, Promoting Accountability and Gender Responsiveness, our panelists will evaluate the Colombian government's efforts on a range of issues addressed in these court rulings, including land tenure, sexual violence, security, humanitarian needs, and differentiated socioeconomic needs for Afro-Colombian and indigenous women. Today's event features the following speakers: Alejandro Vega Rodriguez is a lawyer for the Colombian Commission of Jurists, a prestigious human rights organization. Ms. Vega Rodriguez is in charge of the following the situation of internally displaced communities, especially ethnic minorities and women. Next, we will hear from Ruby Castaño, who serves as the coordinator of the National Women's Department of the National Coordinating Body for the Displaced. Ms. Castaño has been a victim of forced displacement and continued and systematic threats to her life by paramilitary groups. These two speakers will be followed by Dr. Maria Emma Wills, who is the chair of the Gender Research Unit for the Historical Memory Commission and associate professor of political science at the University of the Andes, and also a grantee of the United States Institute of Peace. I want to mention that Dr. Wills will be leaving us at 12:45. She wanted me to make a special note that she's leaving not because of her desire, but she does have to catch a plane back to Bogota. Finally, Andrea Lari and Melanie Taff from Refugees International will discuss findings from their recent trip to Colombia. We have several translators. Elizabeth Murray will be assisting with USIP, and Diana will be working with, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name, Diana. Thank you. Thank you. I also, one last announcement. If you're near television at 3:30 today on Al Jazeera, the pre-taped interview with Jenny Bouvier, Ruby Castaño, and Maria Emma Wills will be at 3:30 today, and I encourage you to look at it. It's very exciting. So may we begin with Alejandro. Do you want to take the podium just so we can see you better? We will make sure we have time for questions and answers as well. So if you have ideas or comments, please be jotting them down. Alejandro.
Gracias, buenos días. Quería agradecerles su tiempo para escuchar la difícil situación de las mujeres colombianas.
I want to thank you for listening to the difficult situation that women face in Colombia.
Efectivamente, Colombia tiene una crisis humanitaria importante en la región.
Truly, Colombia is facing a very dramatic humanitarian crisis in the region.
Existen más de 4 millones de personas desplazadas.
More than 4 million displaced people.
De las cuales más del 52% son mujeres.
Among them, 52% are women. Of the 4 million, 52% are women.
Esto hace que la guerra tenga un efecto desproporcionado en la vida y los cuerpos de las mujeres.
This means that war has a disproportionate effect on women's bodies and women's lives.
Voy a fundamentar mis siguientes afirmaciones en 2 estudios.
I'm going to share with you 2 findings from 2 different research projects.
Un estudio de la Defensoría del Pueblo de Colombia de 2007.
One from the
Defensoría.
Ombudsman Office.
Y un estudio de Medicina Legal de 2008.
And the other one from Legal Medicine,
Forensic Medicine
in Colombia.
Según el estudio de la Defensoría del Pueblo, el 15.8% de las mujeres desplazadas ha sufrido violencia sexual.
From the point of view of the Ombudsman Office, 15.8% of women who's been displaced have suffered from sexual violence.
Dentro de ese mismo estudio, el 18% de las mujeres desplazadas indicó que la violencia sexual fue una causa directa de su desplazamiento.
18% of those women were said that they were displaced because of sexual violence.
Del mismo estudio, más del 39% de las víctimas reportadas fueron niñas menores de 14 años.
39.4% of those who said they were sexually
menores de 14 años, víctimas de violencia sexual.
Victims from sexual violence were underage. They were less than 14.
Mucha de la violencia sexual en Colombia ha estado asociada a grandes masacres.
Many of the sexual violence has been associated with massacres. It happens during massacres.
Masacres ocurridas a finales de los 90 y comienzos del año 2000.
These massacres occurred, most of them, at the end of the 90s, beginning of the new century.
En la que actores armados, por querer controlar territorios, controlar rutas de armas o rutas de narcotráfico, provocaron grandes daños a la población colombiana.
These massacres occurred during the armed actors
struggle for territory so that they could bring arms or out drugs. So it was amidst that war of territories that the massacres occur and the sexual violence.
En 1999 ocurrió una masacre en La Hormiga, en el departamento del Putumayo.
In 1999, the massacre of Hormiga Putumayo occurred.
En enero del 2001, una masacre en El Salado Bolívar.
Mm-hmm. Another one in El Salado Bolívar occurred in 2000.
En 2001 también ocurrieron las masacres de Teorama y El Tarra en Norte de Santander.
In 2001 and 2002 occurred two massacres, el de Teorama and the other one was
Tarra.
Parra.
Tarra.
Tarra, sorry.
Y en 2002 ocurrió la masacre del Chengue, en Sucre.
And 2002 we had the massacre in Chengue, Sucre.
En estas masacres las mujeres fueron sexualmente humilladas.
In all of these massacres women were humiliated during the massacres.
Obligadas a desnudarse.
Some were obliged to strip naked.
A bailar delante de sus maridos y de su comunidad.
Some were forced to bailar, oh my God, dance in front of their families, their husband, their children.
Varias fueron víctimas de violaciones colectivas.
Some were victims of collective rape.
Y sus órganos sexuales fueron mutilados.
And their sexual organs were mutilated.
De estos hechos dio cuenta la Comisión Interamericana de Derechos Humanos en 2006.
Of these events, the International Commission of Human Rights reported in 2006.
Y Amnistía Internacional en 2004.
And Amnesty International in 2004.
Sin embargo, la violencia sexual en Colombia está presente hoy día.
Although we have this report, sexual violence continues to go on in Colombia.
Porque nuestro país continúa en una situación de conflicto armado.
Because our country is still at war.
Tenemos unas cifras de medicina legal del año pasado.
We have also some figures from forensic medicine in Colombia.
Que así lo demuestran.
That shows us that the violence continues.
Medicina Legal afirma haber proferido 21,202 informes de probables ataques sexuales en 2008.
In 2008, the Forensic Institute says that it did 21,202 reports on sexual violence.
Nos quedarían 1,572 probables delitos sexuales al mes.
That means that we had 1,572 crimes per month of sexual violence in Colombia.
52 al día y 2 cada hora.
52 per day and 2 per hour.
Dentro de este mismo estudio se encontraron 69 casos cuyos autores son grupos armados que participan en las hostilidades.
69 cases were committed by armed groups as follows.
Es importante destacar que es una pequeña muestra porque las mujeres normalmente no quieren denunciar este tipo de actos en contra de ellas.
Before she says who the actors, the responsible for these crimes are, she wants to say that 69 seems a small number, but you have to take into account that many women do not want to come out and speak about rape in front of the prosecutors.
Además, las oficinas de medicina legal no cubren todo el país.
And the Forensic Legal Medicine Institute doesn't cover all of the country.
En los lugares apartados, quien hace estas funciones de policía judicial es en ocasiones el mismo ejército.
Mm. In some cases, the one in charge of receiving the hearings from people who've been either raped or have other crimes committed against them is the military, the army.
O los personeros municipales.
Or the personeros.
The, from the public ministry municipal level. the officials from the public ministry.
The ombudsman at the public ministry official at the local level.
Que no están técnicamente preparados para eso.
Who do not know how to listen or to do technically the hearings to these crimes.
De estos 69 casos determinó medicina legal.
From these 69 cases that she already mentioned,
que el 72% correspondió a la fuerza pública.
72% corresponded to the military, to the public forces.
El 21% a las guerrillas.
21% to guerrillas.
Y el 7.2% a grupos paramilitares.
And 7.2% to paramilitary forces.
Lo que quiere decir que la violencia sexual en el marco del conflicto armado en Colombia es muy grave.
What this means is that sexual violence is very high amidst the conflict in Colombia.
Estos mismos hechos de violencia y el cambio de roles de la población desplazada dentro de la sociedad.
These facts and the role change that it spurred amidst the population
provoca que la violencia doméstica también aumente.
Means that we also have a high rise of domestic violence going on.
Por estrés.
Because of stress.
Porque ahora las mujeres son las proveedoras del hogar.
Because now women are the ones who are breadwinners of the family.
Y por las situaciones de marginalidad que se encuentran dentro de la población desplazada.
And because of the marginal conditions that surround displaced people.
La violencia sexual es una realidad incluso en los lugares de nuevos asentamientos.
Sexual violence is a reality even among new asentamientos, new settlements.
Este año en el Parque Tercer Milenio en Bogotá había un asentamiento de población desplazada.
This year in Bogotá, in the park called Tercer Milenio, there were displaced people.
Y una niña fue violada de manera colectiva por agentes de la fuerza pública.
And a child was raped by police forces. Collective rape.
Fue filmada y fue transmitida por internet y por los medios de comunicación.
She was videotaped and the videotape was transmitted by internet and other means.
Eso quiere decir que la violencia sexual es una realidad que ataca de manera especial a las mujeres en condición de desplazamiento.
This means, all these figures, that women are a target of rape, of sexual violence amidst the conflict.
La sociedad civil colombiana se ha organizado en torno a este problema.
Civil society has organized around this problem.
Y parte de esa experiencia nos la va a narrar Ruby.
And partly this organizing experience is going to be told by Ruby.
Luego de eso vamos a hacer una pequeña reseña de la respuesta de las instituciones colombianas, especialmente de la Corte Constitucional.
After Ruby speaks, Alejandra is going to resume what the Constitutional Court has done after all these figures have been put together.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Quiero hacer una recomendación, que si notan que estoy un poco nerviosa es porque todo lo que apunte hacia mí me genera mucho nervios.
She just wants to know that, wants you all to know that she's a little bit nervous with all the attention. Doing a good job.
Recogiendo toda esta problemática, la sociedad civil busca alternativas o salidas para la crisis que se vive en Colombia frente al desplazamiento.
With regard to these issues, civil society has looked for responses to the problem of displacement in Colombia.
Donde se crean espacios de interlocución desde las organizaciones con el gobierno, creando mesas.
Civil society has created spaces with the government, roundtables for people to share.
donde se realiza un trabajo de análisis de la situación y se presentan propuestas al gobierno como salidas alternativas a la problemática.
At these roundtables, they have carried out an analysis of the situation and have presented proposals to the government for solutions.
Resaltando el impacto que ha ocasionado de manera diferenciada sobre la población.
Emphasizing the differentiated effects of displacement on the population.
Especialmente en las mujeres.
Especially with regard to women.
Las que terminan asumiendo todo el cargo del efecto, toda la responsabilidad o el efecto de las consecuencias del conflicto que se vive interno.
They are the ones that end up absorbing most of the consequences of the internal conflict in Colombia.
Donde las mujeres terminan siendo cabezas de familia, asumiendo toda la carga, no solamente de la violación de sus derechos, sino también la responsabilidad de continuar con sacar a sus hijos adelante, darles alimento, conseguir la vivienda, etcétera, etcétera.
Women end up being heads of household during conflict. Not only do they have to deal with their rights being violated, but then they are responsible for feeding their children and making sure their children can continue living. So it's a dual responsibility.
Dentro de estos espacios se resalta el efecto ocasionado a las mujeres afro en su condición y dentro de su cultura.
Afro-Colombian women have absorbed especially great impact of the displacement and the conflict.
Lo mismo las indígenas como las mujeres campesinas.
As have indigenous women and women from the countryside.
Para esto les voy a comentar con la atribución, el permiso de mis organizaciones y las autorizaciones de las víctimas, hablarles de tres testimonios vividos por familias y personas en Colombia.
With the permission of the organization that I work with and the victims, I'm going to share with you three testimonies of women who have lived through displacement.
Todas son vivencias dentro del marco del desplazamiento forzado.
These are all testimonies within the framework of forced displacement.
Una pareja de campesinos, líderes de organizaciones de mujeres y sindicalista como de organizaciones comunales.
Two women, or rather a couple, of whom the wife is a leader, a labor leader and a leader of a country women's association.
De una región del departamento del Meta.
From a region within the department of Meta.
Con siete hijos y una finca con una situación económica solvente.
With seven children and a farm and a low economic situation. No, a good economic situation, pardon me.
Se les empezó a cambiar la vida por consecuencia del asesinato de dos de sus hijos.
Her life began to change as a consequence of the assassination of two of her children.
Que fueron ejecutados por el ejército acusándolos de ser guerrilleros.
They were executed by the army who accused them of being guerrillas.
Uno de ellos era menor de edad.
One of them was a legal minor.
En el 2003 existían combates entre la guerrilla y los militares. Posteriormente esta zona fue ocupada por paramilitares.
In 2003 there was conflict between the paramilitaries and the guerrillas. After this conflict, the area was successfully occupied by the paramilitaries.
Y esta familia, a pesar del miedo, continúan en la zona con la esperanza de que le entreguen los cadáveres de sus dos hijos.
And this family, despite the fear, they stayed in the area hoping that they would be given the bodies of their two sons who were killed.
De forma repentina, el ejército retiene a una de sus hijas, que es menor de edad.
All of a sudden, the army kidnapped one of their daughters, who's also a legal minor.
Acusándola también de esta misma situación, de ser guerrillera.
Also accusing her of being a guerrilla.
La golpean, la violan, le meten su cara dentro del barro, el fango, hasta el punto de casi asfixiarla.
They hit her, they raped her, and they put her face in the mud until they almost suffocated her.
La dejan con vida por petición o por la presión que ejercen las comunidades en la región.
but they left her alive because of the from the pressure of the communities in the region.
Devolviéndola de nuevo a su familia.
Then they returned her to her family.
Esta sumatoria de hechos y violencia en la cual somete los paramilitares a la población de este municipio.
This summary of the events plus the violence that the armed actors have submitted the population to
genera que esta mujer y su familia se desplace de la zona.
Cause the woman and her family to move themselves to Villavicencio.
Con sus hijos.
With her children.
Su esposo se queda en el territorio cuidando en su finca.
Her husband stays in the area taking care of the farm.
Esta mujer en Villavicencio no le aceptan su condición de desplazamiento.
This woman in Villavicencio, the government in Villavicencio does not accept the declaration of displacement on part of the family.
Porque tiene que llenar una cantidad de requisitos para demostrar su condición.
Because they have to meet certain requirements to show that they're displaced.
Por lo tanto, no tiene acceso a la ayuda humanitaria de emergencia que se suministra en esos casos.
As a result of this, they don't have access to the humanitarian aid that they should have for being in those circumstances.
Ni acceso a los programas de estabilización económica como también de servicios inmediatos como salud, etc.
Nor do they have access to any economic stabilization programs or any health services.
Esta mujer con el sufrimiento por los hechos y con sus hijos y continúan las amenazas allí en Villavicencio, aún así ella empieza a trabajar, a buscar alternativas de trabajo ambulante.
Despite receiving continued threats, the woman begins to look for work.
Para alimentar a sus hijos y continuar, tratando de superar su situación.
She looks for work so she can feed her children and try to move forward from her difficult situation.
Todo esto empezó, por toda esta situación empezó a enfermarse y le diagnostican finalmente una demencia senil.
As a result of this, she began to get sick and she was diagnosed with dementia.
No recibe ninguna atención y posteriormente pues ella muere. Lo que le da dentro de su demencia es no alimentarse y buscar a sus hijos.
She never received medical attention and she died because what her dementia took the form that she wouldn't feed herself and she would only look for her children.
Su esposo, que era sindicalista, también le da una trombosis y muere.
Her husband, who was a labor leader, also had a clot or a stroke and he also died.
Sus hijos se encuentran en la ciudad de Villavicencio viviendo en casas construidas, si se puede llamar casas, rodeadas de tela asfáltica o tela costal.
Right now her children are in Villavicencio living in houses, if you can even call them houses, that are sort of made of fabric on the sides.
Ellos viven en barrios como La Nora, La Reliquia y otros que son barrios que nacen por consecuencia del desplazamiento que hay tan feroz en esta región.
They live in neighborhoods that are formed because of the displacement that is so severe in this region.
También tengo otro caso donde otra mujer cabeza de familia que vivía económicamente bien.
I have another situation of a head of household who was a woman who was living well economically.
Las guerrillas le piden a dos de sus hijos y se los llevan.
Guerrillas recruit two of her children and they take them away.
No antes sin aclarar que eran seis hijos los que ella tenía.
She had six children.
Posteriormente, al paso del tiempo, los paramilitares también le piden como reprimenda o como que tenía que contribuir con dos hijos más para los grupos paramilitares.
After the paramilitaries took away two of her children, they came back to her and said that she had to give them two more of her children.
Ella, de inmediato, para proteger la vida de sus hijos, tiene que salir de esta región.
She needed to leave the region immediately to protect the lives of her children.
Y huye hacia Bogotá.
She flees to Bogotá.
donde se reporta como desplazada. Allí le reconocen su situación y le entregan un microproyecto supuestamente autosostenible.
She reports herself as a displaced person in Bogotá, and they recognize her status as a displaced person and give her a small business project to help herself.
En pesos colombianos es 1,200,000, en dólares son como $600, si no estoy mal.
It's about a $600 project.
Con esto, ella lo que puede montar es una venta de mangos ambulante, de venta de ambulante, donde vende fruta picada.
With this money, she's able to start a fruit stand, a moving fruit stand, where she sells mangoes.
Lógico que le genera unos bajos ingresos que no cubre las necesidades que tiene ella con sus hijos.
This only generates very small income that she's not able, it's not able to feed her family.
En medio de todo esto, deja a sus hijos menores en el sitio donde ella vivía, y uno de los inquilinos donde ella vivía estaba violando a una de sus hijas.
She had to leave her children at home while she worked, and one of the other renters in the place where she lived was raping one of her daughters.
Y por consecuencia de esto, ella va y denuncia al bienestar familiar.
She goes and she reports this to the Office of Family Welfare.
Y pide ayuda. Y la respuesta que da del Instituto de Bienestar Familiar es quitarle a sus hijos por no tener capacidad económica para sostenerlos, y mucho menos tiempo en su condición.
She goes to the Office of Family Welfare and she files this complaint, and what they do is they take away her children from her because they say she doesn't have the economic means to support them.
La tercera experiencia es de una mujer líder comunitaria y sindicalista.
This third experience is from a woman labor leader.
La que lucha por los derechos de las mujeres en condición de desplazamiento.
Who fights for the rights of displaced women.
Tiene que alejarse de su municipio hacia la ciudad y con su padre y su hija.
She is forced to leave her municipality and go to the city with her father and her daughter.
En la ciudad inicia una actividad voluntaria en el ámbito de la defensa de los derechos de la población desplazada.
In the city, she starts her volunteer work with defending the rights of displaced people.
El hecho establece en la ciudad mantener una actividad de lideresa más el trabajo que ella ejecuta. Es muy difícil alternarlo, conseguir cómo sobrevivir y cómo ejercer su trabajo en la defensa de los derechos de la población desplazada.
It's very difficult in the city for her to find a way to support herself and simultaneously continue defending the rights of displaced people.
Esto a su vez la pone en una situación vulnerable, permanente y extrema.
This puts her in a situation of permanent and extreme vulnerability.
Lo cual la lleva a continuar con su actividad de lideresa en condiciones de hambre e incertidumbre.
She continues her work defending displaced people, but in a circumstance of hunger and great uncertainty.
Pensando que en cuál momento la sacan del sitio donde vive, la casa donde paga para vivir, porque no tiene recursos para pagar el arriendo.
Knowing that she can be evicted at any moment because she has not been able to pay her rent.
A su vez, en esta situación se suman las amenazas y más persecución contra ella y contra su familia, obligándola a tener que alejar a sus hijos de su lado.
At the same time, she's experiencing a lot of threats against her life and against her family's life, as a result of which she had to take her children out of the situation to protect them.
Los estudios de riesgo por parte del Ministerio del Interior y de Justicia casi nunca identifican la situación de riesgo.
The studies on the part of the Justice Ministry and the Ministry of the Interior do not generally identify the situation of women as being of great risk.
Por lo tanto, casi nunca tampoco entregan las medidas de protección que deberían ser inmediatas.
As a result, they don't generally provide the measures of protection that should be provided immediately.
Esta mujer lideresa de desarraigo familiar e incertidumbre económica.
This woman who was a leader of displaced people and was also experiencing economic uncertainty.
Y con persistencia de persecución la conlleva a vivir una serie de tensiones y angustias y preocupaciones.
This woman who was a leader for displaced people was living such persistent economic uncertainty that she came to experience a series of tensions and worries and upset.
Estas empiezan a traducir en enfermedades corporales cada vez más agravantes que no puedes resolver.
These worries became translated into physical sicknesses that were not able to be resolved by a doctor.
Por no tener situación económica, no tiene acceso al servicio médico.
She didn't have the economic situation to be able to go to a doctor.
Y cuando lo suministran, lo dan a 2 y 3 meses posterior.
And when they give her an appointment, they give her an appointment for 2 or 3 months later.
Es un servicio especial que hay para la población desplazada que es se suma tanto, es tan poco los médicos que hay para esto y tanta la gente que está enferma que tienen que colocarlo a mucho tiempo, ya una agenda de 2 y 3 meses de...
Because there are so many displaced people who need medical services, they have to, and so few doctors who provide them, they tend to give them appointments for 2 or 3 months down in the future.
Todos estos obstáculos y muchos más generan que las lideresas en situación de desplazamiento acaben renunciando.
All of these circumstances and more ended up that this woman who was displaced ended up quitting her leadership position. Many women.
Sí. Para resolver su situación tienen que buscar alternativas de supervivencia y dejar de lado el trabajo que nosotras venimos haciendo como líderes.
As a result of the desperate economic situation, they have to put aside their work as leaders and try to just find a way for their family to survive.
Esta última parte es mi experiencia, es lo que yo estoy viviendo, lo cual me lleva a preocuparme muchísimo porque no tengo primero acceso al servicio médico, segundo no tengo alternativas laborales por mi edad y tercero mi condición me sume en una situación muy difícil para tener acceso a ellos.
This last situation is what I have been living and I'm very worried because I have been in this leadership role but I am unable to meet my economic needs and find a job and find health services.
Y como yo, muchas mujeres en Colombia estamos en esta situación, situaciones que la mía no es tan, es grave, pero hay otras peores que la mía, donde las mujeres están muriendo enfermas en las puertas de los hospitales, pariendo sus hijos en las puertas de los hospitales, y no hay una mirada de parte ni preocupación de parte del Estado hacia buscar alternativas o solución a esta crisis que se está viviendo, especialmente la población desplazada.
And just like me, many other women are living this situation. And even though my situation is bad, many women have a situation that's much worse. They're dying in the doors of the hospitals. They're giving birth in the streets because the government has not been able and has not put the attention to resolving this situation.
Como podrán ver ustedes, no solamente se violan los derechos humanos en el momento del desplazamiento, sino también se revictimiza a quienes viven esta situación. En las ciudades, allí no hay un fin, sino continúa un calvario permanente que es difícil. Y por esto hemos buscado y hemos propuesto alternativas, como buscar salidas a la problemática.
As you can see, it's not just that human rights are being violated. During the conflict, people are being re-victimized by living in these horrible conditions in the city, and this is why we have begun to try to look for solutions with the government to this problem.
Por lo tanto, las organizaciones como mi organización, la Coordinación Nacional de Desplazados,
my organization, the National Coordination of Displaced People,
Hemos estado interlocutando en esas mesas de las que le hablaba inicialmente y donde vemos poco interés de parte del gobierno en tener en cuenta las alternativas a la salida de esta crisis.
We have been having roundtables with the government to try to explain our situation and look for solutions, but we have found that the government has limited interest in helping us.
Yo creo que esto deja en ustedes, pues, más o menos la imagen de que cuál es la realidad que vivimos las mujeres, la población desplazada, especialmente las mujeres, y en su secuencia nuestros hijos. Es muy doloroso.
I think that this presentation has given you an idea of what displaced women are living in Colombia and what our children are going through as well.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Por su atención.
For your attention.
Thank you.
I want to thank again the Institute of Peace for inviting me to share with you what I've seen through the work I'm in charge of in the Historical Memory Commission. I just, after Ruby's experience, I just want to point to two or three major ideas that have come out of the workshops we do in the regions. The first one is that displacement occurs within an armed conflict that changes. It's a dynamic, changing conflict. And probably we've gone from struggles for land in the 60s, 70s, to struggles for territory. Nowadays, the war is for corridors where crime organizations, international crime organizations, want to stamp their domination in order to get arms inside the country or get out drugs. So there's a major change there. The second one is that displacement has produced a major concentration of land in Colombia. We already had a very bad situation vis-à-vis land. The war has made it worse. Some people calculate that 5 million hectares have been concentrated through war during the last years of the conflict. The third idea is that displacement is not only individual, but community. What we have seen through the historical memory work is that really the war has targeted individuals, but communities that live in these territories. We have called it a curse, because many of the people who have been displaced, Afro-Americans, ethnic groups, live in regional zones that were not too integrated to the labor market, to the formal labor market. They were second-rate citizens in Colombia. And through the war, what happened was that these regions that were not incorporated became part of Colombia through the war because they had resources. It's like a curse. You didn't appear in the radar, the public radar, and suddenly you appear because you were born in a small village that is by terrible fate amidst the dispute between the armed actors. So communities are the objective of displacement, not just individuals. Now, the question I ask is, how does gender intersect with the war? And I have like four ideas around that. The first one is that I've learned through the workshops that violence against women wasn't brought up by the armed actors. It existed before the armed actors got there. The democratic deficit was in place before the armed actors arrived. Sometimes we think that the armed actors were the ones that innovated these practices of terror against women. No. The stories we've heard of women being, kept in their homes by their compañeros, not husbands, but partners, before the war are terrible. Young women raped by neighbors, women who were not afforded a school education because they were women. Stories about women who didn't know money, because they were not allowed to go to the marketplace by their husbands. I mean, I think that what we have to make visible is that we had before the war what I've called totalitarian gender regimes in certain regions of Colombia, even before. The debt towards women starts before the war. That's the first idea. The second idea is that the war has a gender differentiated impact on women and men. What we've found out in the Caribbean region is that armed actors randomly attacked men. Many men die during the war, but select certain women either to humiliate the other or because they stand out as leaders of their own community. So we've found out that there's a selectiveness of armed actors against women and the randomness against men. Who are the women that the armed actors attack? They are emblematic figures. They are the school teacher, the partera,
birth attendant,
birth midwife, the midwife, the health caretaker of the community. Those are the women who are being selectively attacked by the armed actors because they represent the whole community. How does displacement affect men and women, or what are the post-event impacts on men and women? First of all, I've heard many, many mothers say that not only economic precariousness runs against them and their dignity, but also recruitment. Because the war goes on, their children are still being recruited by the armed actors. And so we have to face the problem, a cultural problem. Not only employment makes young men and young women go into arms, it's also a sort of militarized society where Rambo figures have a sort of seduction towards the younger generations. So we face a very big challenge to disarticulate these Rambo figures and put in place other kind of heroes. Heroes, she heroes and he heroes. There's also a differentiated impact in trauma. How men live and talk about trauma and how women live and talk about trauma. There are very sad stories about men and women dying. I think it should be called in English death sorrows. Sorrow, you die because of sorrow, moral sorrow. So we've heard of men and women dying not only because of somatization of trauma, because of sorrow. They've lost members of their family. But the way that men and women I'm a bit tired. Block. Bueno, the men are face sorrow through through solitude. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, we've heard stories of abuelos,
grandparents.
Grandparents who sit down in a corner of a park waiting for their children to come back, and they go day after day to the same spot and they don't talk to anyone. They become very introverted. Women tend to have networks to speak about their sorrows, but they tend to forget themselves. They speak about the sorrows that happen to their daughters. They speak about the sorrows that happen to their husbands. They speak about the sorrows that happen to their children. They have much more trouble to speak about themselves in the first person. I was the victim of. So that brings me to the fact that reparation not only means economic reparation, but also an enormous reparation towards women who were amidst this totalitarian gender arrangements even before the war, and who have to become citizens, first-class citizens, and speak about themselves from a rights perspective, not only as mothers who lost children or as wives who lost husbands, but also as citizens who were stripped of their rights because of the armed actors' interventions. The last idea is about reparation and land and sexual violence. We face a huge challenge to repair women who've lost land, because in the first place, many of these women and even men do not have titles, even before the war. They were peasants, they lost their land, they are displaced nowadays, but they don't have a title to show to a judge and say, this is my land. Women face, there's a twist, a gender twist to this story, and it is that women sometimes are not legally married to the peasant who may have had the title. So reclaiming land for women is a very hard task because they are not familiar with the legal system. They don't have titles. Sometimes the man had several families. So it's also very complex to know who you should give the land back to. I mean, if you have like multi, I don't know how you call them here, but multi-family units. And that is a big challenge we face. I think that the legal, the land problem should not only be framed in legal terms for reparation. There's an ethical issue here, and I think that Colombia has been very timid to put it in ethical terms. It's not ethical. It might be legal if a big capitalist farmer buys the land to someone else, not the main peasant who was displaced. It might be legal. He might have the papers. He might not have been responsible for the massacres who displaced the people, but he's benefiting from the massacres. He's benefiting from the whole situation. So the it's not just a legal matter. Is it ethical to buy land, even if you have the titles, when you know that that land was the property of communities that have been displaced in the country? That's one question that has not been brought up in Colombia and that I think all the society faces. And the second one is the challenge of bringing out the sexual violence that has occurred amidst the conflict in a way that doesn't re-victimize the women. The problem is, as you all know, that rape is one of these horrible crimes that runs against the victims. So we face the challenge to culturally put upside down the way Colombians look at rape, so that the perpetrators of rape are the ones who feel ashamed of the crimes they have committed and not the victims. And so that's another challenge we face, I think.
Thank you, Maria Emma. Andrea? Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Andrea Lai from Refugees International. I'm going to ask assistance with the technology here. You can move to the first slide, please. Okay, first of all, why Refugees International is looking at Colombia and as a program in Colombia? Well, the magnitude of the problem. We heard numbers, more than 4 million people displaced, more than 3 million people registered by the government of Colombia, 500,000 crossing into the bordering countries. Second, the fact that there's a continuing crisis. The conflict is not over. It has only moved to areas that are less visible, more remote, and there is much less attention to those areas. But the conflict is continuing. And the government of Colombia itself is trying to feed this idea that the conflict has been overcome, that we are in a post-conflict situation, and therefore there is no need to pay attention to that phenomenon. On this side of the hemisphere, unfortunately, the overall situation in Colombia is seen by policymakers two major policy analyses, two major aspects. One is counterinsurgency against illegal armed groups, and second is counter-narcotics. So all this combination makes a situation where very few people know of what's really happening in terms of forced displacement in the country. Refugees International has been working for 5 years on Colombia, visiting the country twice a year and analyzing different aspects of the displacement crisis. And I show you, we have been to the Pacific coast. Change again. Next. And next again. Close to the south, in Nariño with the Ecuadorian border. Then again, next. In Antioquia. And then this last October, we visited among some of the same areas and new areas. Next again, just to give you an idea where we were. Again, next, and finally we went to Bogota. This is to visualize that we throughout the 5 years, and with the green arrows, the most recent trip, we have been trying to cover different parts of the country, because we are aware that there are different dynamics and it's difficult to come up with a trend that can apply everywhere. In terms of the presentation, I'm going to flip through some of the pictures of the areas we have visited, and you will see many pictures of women that we have met, organized in groups, individuals. I think it will give you a bit of an idea and associate with some of the testimonies that have been shared this morning. Next, please. Okay, this is a group of women leaders in Chocó. They are part of a group called Liga de Mujeres Chocoanas, and just to give you an example and reiterate some of the ways of sexual violence and targeted on women is creating displacement. We heard that an important figure, 18% of women have been displaced because of direct threats through acts of sexual violence. In Chocó itself, we heard stories from indigenous communities where illegal armed actors have targeted women within the indigenous community and threatened them with rape in public, inside, in front of the community, for the reason to scare the community and leave the territory and take control over that area. Another tactic, we have heard about forced recruitment of adolescents and girls, and also in terms of targeted sexual violence against adolescents. They can basically force them to flee, but also the family, in order to protect them, to move away from the areas where they live. Next one. This is another community, another group of displaced women leaders in Arauca, in the area close to the border with Venezuela. What happens is when displaced reach the public ministry official, they need to declare what happened to them in order to be recognized as displaced people and therefore receive a series of assistance and benefits. In many cases, women, they are ashamed or explaining that they've suffered sexual violence or have been raped, and that was the cause of displacement, and therefore, they don't report this particular these particular accounts. This is why, in many cases, the figures are low instead of, you know, in report to the reality. We also, lady from this community also talked to us about. Talk to us about a common practice now. The National Army in that particular area in Arauca has been implying. Soldiers are approaching young girls who have sexual relationship with them or relationship, and also giving them phones and credit to use the phones. And this has been perceived by illegal armed groups. In Arauca, you have the ELN and the FARC active. They perceive these women, these girls, as informants. And there have been cases where girls have been killed or have been forced to move away from the house because of the situation. And then another issue we have heard about is very important is the exposure to sexual violence after displacement. This is not oftentimes explained, it's not oftentimes investigated, but because of the living condition where women are forced to, this environment push or creates opportunities for additional violence. Next. Yeah, so just going to give you a bit of an idea how web displaced people live, to give you an idea of the overcrowded dimension. Next one. This is Chocó, this is in Quibdó, this is in Arauca. And so this overcrowding of the different families living in these conditions creates exposure to violence, but also increase their vulnerability. Next. Another aspect that we have heard is the rise of sexual violence and actually domestic violence that occur in settlements where displaced people live. This is also given to the fact that the roles within the families change. So the man has actually more difficulties after displacement to find jobs. He used to be the breadwinner, used to be the leader of the household, and now you have a reverse situation where unemployment and psychological frustration of the man transform itself or changes the relationship in the families, and oftentimes these living conditions and the stress, economic stress and psychological stress, translate into violence against their women and their partners. Next, please. Just again here. Yeah. In terms of legal redressing, so what displaced men have been trying to do in terms of to seek redressing of the those crimes suffered. Well, first of all, there is very, very limited reporting. And one of the reasons why is that is because there is not enough protection to the victims after they have reported. Confidentiality is not granted. And there is high level of corruption within the judicial system. One case, and one of the ladies from this community in Cordoba, this is in the northern part of the country, in Cordoba, south of Monteria, one of the ladies in this community has told us how her daughter was raped by a man in the community where they live, and it was a wealthy man that was able to pay the judge in order to stop the investigation, and actually the perpetrator went back to her family and told them, you better stop doing your noise against me because nothing's going to happen. I have already taken care of this with the judge. Next one. This is another group of displaced women that we met in Montes de Maria in between Bolivar and Sucre. And they were telling us, as in terms of illegal redressing, another fear they have is that illegal armed groups in this particular area are paramilitary, newly organized paramilitary groups, have been infiltrating the judicial structures and the police. They also talked to us about one case that exemplifies the lack of political will in some situation of the judicial system. And this is the case of a 13-year-old girl that was raped by one of the illegal armed groups. She became pregnant. She went to the police. She reported. And after 1 year, she found out that the investigation against the perpetrators had gone nowhere, but she was under investigation because of having aborted after the violence. In this particular case, when a victim remains pregnant after a rape, according to the Colombian law, it's legal to recur to abortion. So just to give you an idea how between the two priorities, the judicial system went along victimizing the survivor instead of looking at the perpetrator. Next. In terms of socioeconomic, I think, so we have talked about some of the Kurdish displacement, the effort to redress some of the sexual violence and the rape cases. Well, what are the economic needs that the women have been sharing with us? Well, first of all, after displacement, women should be entitled of emergency humanitarian assistance. This emergency humanitarian assistance is oftentimes very late, takes months to receive it, and second, in many occasions, it's been given only after legal proceedings. So displaced have to approach the Inspector General office and demand a legal action against the government to respond. In terms of health is access to health is limited by all IDPs, and if you are not registered, IDPs are internally displaced person, if you're not registered, you won't access the services. In terms of medical emergency obstetric care, it's very limited, available in especially in rural areas. In the case of Chocó, one of the states on the Pacific coast, we have maternal mortality rates that are three times higher than the rest of the country, with 250 deaths per 100,000 children born. So just to give you an idea how complicated it is then to respond to the health needs of displaced women. In terms of medical assistance after the women suffer rape, well, there are very few post-rape kits available, and the Minister of Health doesn't have enough resources to provide these kits in more remote areas. And this is where the conflict is taking place. Next, please. When a survivor has suffered an act of sexual violence, there is a path, there is a route of detention, no? An assistant path that should be followed. But as you can see, it's very complicated. It requires the combination of many agencies, and many of the women that do not understand or not aware of this process. Next. As we heard in several occasions, one of the major issues after displacement is the economic sustainability and the situation of economic instability that households face. And again, being the women taking care of becoming the breadwinner, they need to seek jobs in the informal sector. The majority of the women comes from rural backgrounds. They go into urban settings. But this is very difficult for them to find jobs. The kind of jobs they find are jobs that are, as I said, in the informal sector, and they face significant discrimination in terms of wages. What we have heard in Chocó has been that oftentimes this economic stress has pushed at least all the women we interviewed. They told that they knew all their colleagues, all their community members have been forced into prostitution to be able to support themselves. Now I'm going to show you some of the vocational training activities that I'm going to show you some of the successful ones. So before, just again, this is a restaurant that has been set up by displaced women in Chocó. Next. This is also another income generating activities that is women leaders from different displaced communities have set up a spa where they provide several services to the people. This is a garden where the client should go to this part and in order to reach well-being and wellness in their life, they need to clean themselves. They go through this part. They need to destroy pieces of wood on the table. Next. This table, and they go to another corner of the garden where they speak to a tree just to take away their sorrow, take away their pain. This is a successful initiative. Next one. This is also a handcraft shop that another group in Chocó has been able to set up. Next, please. And this is a lady in Córdoba that has received some funding from the government to set up a food processing stand, well, it's just food processing initiative that would, that she was selling pastry in the street. So these are all positive examples of what we have seen. But the great majority of the cases, in terms of income-generating activities, are unfortunately unsuccessful. Why? Well, first of all, because there is limited accompaniment of the beneficiaries in terms of training, and then afterwards, after the training, to set up a business. Second, the amount of money that is given is around $750, and it doesn't really, it's not enough to buy the implements, buy the implements and seek a place where to sell their produce, and again, it's not really enough. And unless there is other access to credit, the business, they don't run. Access to credit is very complicated. There are no schemes that are prioritizing women in this particular case. And finally, many of the skills are not marketable, are not usable in the urban context. And women have complained with us oftentimes. They are not really asked what they want to do. They are told what they should be doing. Next one. And again, this is the type of housing the people are living in. This is in Arauca. Next one. How subsidies are given, have been given to displaced community by the government. The point is that the money is not enough. They are given $7 million, is like $3,500, but this is not enough to buy a house, a decent house, in the current market price. And there are also a series of restrictions to these subsidies. For instance, if the money is not used to buy a new house, cannot be used to repair an old house, or cannot be used for the very same beneficiary to build their own house. So houses. So there has been support in this area of housing, but not enough, and displaced people and displaced women in particular, they're forced to live in this situation. Finally, I just like to make a reference to next, please, the last slide. It's a reference to the USAID work in Colombia. As you know, the USAID has a significant program assisting displaced people in Colombia, around $35 million every year. And unfortunately, in terms of the preparation of their program and implementation of the program, and including gender aspect, to date, USAID has not yet developed a gender policy. There was an assessment done in 2006. They recommended that the gender integration process should have been developed, and that gender policy would be incorporated in their portfolio and also in the contractor. This has not done, has been done so far, in particular with regards to the contractors, which, as you know, USAID doesn't operate directly. So thank you very much. I leave the floor to my colleague, Melanie.
Thank you, Andrea.
Hello, I'm Melanie Teff with Refugees International. Next slide, please. I'm going to talk a bit about the response of Colombian civil society groups to the problems that we've heard thus far. But first, I'm going to underline some of the issues that Ruby raised about how difficult it is for civil society leaders to stand up in Colombia because of the threats that they face. This is actually a remarkable project that we saw in Cartagena by the League of Displaced Women. They organized dignified housing, next slide please, for communities. They organized income generation projects and nurseries for the women, next slide please. The women there had successful income generation projects. They were working on public policy issues, next slide please. And this is the community center that we met them in. But this community center had just been rebuilt because it had been burnt down about 2 years ago. Next slide, please. This is the memorial to the previous community center that was burnt down, presumed by paramilitary groups, because these women were becoming a force to be reckoned with. They were asking questions of politicians, and that's not something that local politicians wanted. Next slide. In terms of government protection for leaders in that situation, they were given a couple of bodyguards. They were saying they didn't actually feel very safe with the bodyguards. They were from a private company, and actually often they felt rather nervous of their bodyguards themselves. And they weren't consulted about the sort of measures of protection that they should receive. Next slide, please. We asked women what they wanted, and for example, this woman showed us her bulletproof vest that she'd been given, that she was saying, that's not really a protection to me. It would be a far better protection to me if the government stopped making statements criticizing me as a leader, because that's what puts me at risk. Next slide, please. So I'm going to talk now about about some of the responses of civil society to the problems that have been faced. And just first of all, to talk about the Constitutional Court of Colombia, the highest court in Colombia. The role that that court has played has been vital for displaced people. And in 2004, there was a landmark decision of the court. It's known as T25, the court decision. This came as a result of civil society groups putting forward thousands of cases of displaced people who were not getting their needs responded to by the government. And the court made a finding that there was a state of inconstitutionality in Colombia concerning the response to displaced people's needs. And this court decision has been key for civil society to organize themselves in response. That order, T25, did not make much reference to the particular situation of displaced women. But the court went on to hold a series of hearings over the next few years. And in 2007, the court held a hearing on displaced women. And that was an opportunity for women's groups and human rights organizations to start organizing themselves and bringing forward cases specifically that showed the specific impact of displacement on women. And this led to a landmark court ruling in 2008, which is known as Auto 92. And really, that court decision, that court ruling, Auto 92, which was 1 year ago, has been one of the most important methods of getting the women's organizations to come together and to demand actions from the government. What that court ruling said was really two main areas. One thing it said was that sexual violence is systematic in the conflict in Colombia. It's not individual cases, it's systematic, it's targeted violence. And it said that the government has to develop a criminal policy to respond to sexual violence cases. And it ordered, and there were a number of specific cases put before the court, and it ordered the government to respond to those cases, but also widespread criminal policy needs to be developed, not just those cases. Secondly, it said that the court found that there was a total lack of public policy in Colombia for responding to the specific needs of Colombian women, of Colombian displaced women, excuse me. And it ordered the government to rectify that situation by designing and implementing 13 programs, socioeconomic programs that would respond to the needs for protection and assistance of displaced women. It also made the clear finding that humanitarian assistance has to be provided to displaced women up until they are economically stable. And it ordered that the government should produce these 13 programs and its criminal policy with the participation of displaced women's groups. These were all very important steps forward. And unfortunately, the response has not been as one would have hoped by the government thus far. In fact, the women's groups have interestingly said to us when we were talking with them that one of the most useful outcomes of the court case thus far has been how it's helped women's groups to organize themselves in response to it. And they've set up, as was mentioned, two mesas, two roundtables to follow up the court case. One of the roundtables is following up the access to justice in sexual violence cases. The other roundtable, civil society roundtable, is following up the 13 programs. Thus far, we understand that the table that's looking at the access to justice has been deeply disappointed. They've really not seen any advance on a criminal policy towards sexual violence cases, and really very little progress in the cases that were before the court. The second mesa, looking at the 13 programs, has seen a tiny amount of advance, but unfortunately it's been minimal. There have not been any 13 programs developed. What they have done is 600 cases were listed by the court, individuals, and they found some of those women, and they've given some of those women places in existing programs. There's a Families in Action program, for example, that gives money to women, that gives money to displaced people, and they've given a few extra places on those programs. But those programs were not developed with the specific needs of the displaced in mind or of displaced women, so they're not responding to what the court has ordered in that case. There's also been a little bit of an advance on humanitarian assistance. 9% of cases now have their humanitarian assistance extended beyond 3 months, which never happened before. But we have to recognize the advances, but they've not been clearly what the court has ordered. The case is coming back before the court, before the end of the year, and civil society groups have organized their response. They've submitted to the court their views of the levels of compliance, and we're awaiting a further court decision. And so lastly, I'm just going to mention the recommendations that Refugees International has from our visit. And in particular, every women's group, every human rights group underlined to us the importance of this court decision, Alto 92. And so demanding compliance of the Colombian government, asking the US government to push the Colombian government on this. These are key actions that can be taken to advance the rights of displaced women in Colombia. And then we also looked at a number of recommendations with the U.S.'s financial assistance, how that can improve the access to justice by displaced women. So, for example, we're recommending that assistance should be given to the Ombudsman's Office Women's Section, because at the moment they only have 3 staff members in Bogota, and if they had staff out in the States, those staff could be assisting, accompanying victims through the court process. At the moment, that doesn't happen. We've recommended strengthening the investigative capacity of the prosecutor's office, specifically for sexual violence cases, for supporting the sorts of gender-based violence programs as well that Andrea was mentioning, which come together with psychological support and income generation. And lastly, the need for a gender policy, which Andrea was mentioning is unfortunately lacking thus far in USAID. Thank you very much. I don't know if Alejandro wants to add any recommendations onto what I've said, because these are Refugees International's recommendations, not the recommendations of the women's groups specifically. Thank you.
¿Sí? ¿Se escucha bien?
Creo que habría solo que añadir a las recomendaciones de Refugiados Internacional el hecho que requerimos mayor número de fiscales en la Unidad Nacional de Derechos Humanos para que atiendan este tipo de casos.
I would like to add to the recommendations done by Refugees International that we need bigger numbers of prosecutors in the Human Rights Unit in the Attorney General's Office.
Para que sean atendidos directamente desde Bogotá.
So the victims are seen directly in Bogotá.
Porque si los casos son investigados en las regiones, no va a haber acceso real a la justicia.
Because if the cases continue to be investigated in the regions, there is not going to be access to justice.
De la misma forma, se requieren programas de protección a las víctimas.
We also require protection programs for the victims.
Tanto para participar dentro de los procedimientos penales,
as well to participate in the legal proceedings,
como para poder seguir efectuando sus labores de líderes,
as to continue to work as communitarian leaders.
Requerimos el respaldo político del gobierno colombiano y, si se puede, de las instituciones de Estados Unidos.
we require the political will of the Colombian government and political will of the U.S. government institutions.
Para la Corte Constitucional de Colombia.
To support the constitutional court.
Para las organizaciones de población desplazada.
And for the organizations of displaced communities.
Y para las organizaciones de la sociedad civil que llevamos este tipo de procesos.
And for the organizations of the civil society that take care of these processes.
No sería más.
And that's
thank you very much. I realize that our time is limited, and I want to begin right away with questions. And if do we have a any kind of microphone? Okay, why don't we use this one? Stand and identify yourself for the panel, and maybe do it in such a way that people behind you can hear the question.
Yes, you are. I want to ask particularly Ruby, but also Melanie, okay, something about the architecture of the women's groups that we've heard about. Ruby represents the women's division of the national, the way I'm sure it's different in Spanish, but of the coordination of the displaced in Colombia. And that, I gather, is the general movement of displaced persons, the organization representing displaced persons in Colombia, and that there is a women's department within that. That's my understanding. So I'd like to know first more about how this came about, whether the overall coordination is working in most places where the displaced are concentrated, and whether you consider them, what are their political advantages and disadvantages, and particularly the women's role within that context. How did it come about? Just something about that. And also for Melanie, you're talking about different women's organizations or the same? Is the League of Displaced Women, is that the same or is it different? How does it come about? I just want to know something about the women's movement representing displaced women in Colombia.
All right, and we'll take one more question and then we'll let the panel, this woman right here.
La voy a hacer primero en español y después la hago en inglés. Mi nombre es Andrea Pradilla, soy de Georgetown University y por 3 años trabajé en el Ministerio de Agricultura y Desarrollo Rural antes de venir acá. En ese sentido, mi pregunta es, si bien reconozco que hay muchísimo por hacer, por mi experiencia personal desde el Ministerio en los últimos 3 años, vi que alrededor de un 60-70% de los esfuerzos del Ministerio estaban encaminados a atender la población desplazada. Reconozco pues que no es suficiente y que hay muchas cosas por hacer, pero en ese sentido me gustaría saber qué reconocen como positivo de los esfuerzos que ha hecho el gobierno en términos de recuperación de tierras, de población desplazada y de acceso a subsidio integral de tierras, y cuáles serían las recomendaciones en términos de política pública, porque sé que hay muchas, pero digamos no siempre hay espacios de interacción entre gobierno y sociedad civil donde estas recomendaciones puedan llegar libre y claramente, y digamos que eso me llama la atención que hoy no haya nadie del gobierno oyendo estas recomendaciones que me parece que son supremamente importantes. So I'll do this in English now. So my name is Andrea Pradilla. I'm a Georgetown University student and I used to work for the Colombian Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development, and as part of the government I got to see that about 60-70% of the ministry's efforts were towards displaced people and to respond to the situation of displaced people, and even though I recognize it wasn't enough and it's still not enough, I wonder what they see as good contributions from the government, what has been done right. And I was just saying that I'm surprised that there is no one from the government today here to listen to the recommendations they have in terms of public policy, and I think it should be fair to hear that side of the story too.
Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and open it up to Alejandro and also to Melanie.
Maybe Ruby first.
Ruby? A ver, allí la Coordinación Nacional de Desplazados nace con base a la necesidad de aglutinar muchas organizaciones de desplazados a nivel nacional.
The national coordination for displaced people, it's born out of the necessity to join the multiple displaced organizations already existing.
Como allí dice la Coordinación Nacional de Desplazados, CND, aglutina aproximadamente 270 organizaciones. Se encuentran a raíz del encuentro nacional de las organizaciones de la CND, encontramos que la gran mayoría de población desplazada son mujeres, y nace la necesidad de la creación del Departamento de Mujeres.
In a national meeting that the CND, which is the National Coordination for Displaced People, had, we have to clarify that the CND is participating 270 organizations. They found out that because of women represents more than 50% of the displaced community, there was a necessity to create a national department focusing only on women.
En este departamento se aglutinan mujeres afros, indígenas, campesinas y mujeres rurales. Allí se da iniciativa y la misma necesidad de la gran cantidad de mujeres de mirar la problemática de las mujeres en condición de desplazamiento. A su vez, empezamos a encontrar dentro de ese análisis que empezamos a dar las mujeres, muchas problemas frente a las políticas elaboradas por el gobierno hacia las mujeres. O sea, no existían, históricamente no ha habido políticas elaboradas hacia los derechos de las mujeres.
In this Department of Women, we count with the participation of Afro-Colombian women, indigenous and peasant farmers women. And they, one of the basic points that they found in this meeting is that they are the state, the government has not created enough policies to address the problem of women and gender issues, specifically in when it has to deal with forced displaced women.
En este ejercicio identificamos que el efecto del desplazamiento ha sido mucho más profundo en el sector de mujeres. Por lo tanto, empezamos a crear un trabajo de incentivación y de conocimiento frente a la búsqueda de alternativas para visibilizar la problemática de las mujeres en los espacios, especialmente de gobierno, precisamente por esa misma situación de no existir ninguna políticas que recogieran la problemática dentro del marco de género.
We also found out that the displacement had a severe effect, more grave effect on women, and it was necessary for us to make visible those impacts, especially within government and state institutions, in order for the government to adequately address the situation.
Con el nacimiento o con la aparición de, como decía la compañera Melanie, la elaboración de políticas para población desplazada dentro de la T025 no recogía de manera diferencial la problemática de las mujeres. Entonces, cuando sale el auto 092, vimos en él que se presentaba la posibilidad de que se diera un análisis y se recogiera para buscar solución a esta crisis, a este crimen de lesa humanidad como es el desplazamiento forzado, en estos 13 lineamientos que proponía la Corte. Y entonces damos inicio a un trabajo en elaboración como respuesta a lo que no hizo el gobierno inicialmente.
As Melanie pointed out, the Constitutional Court Order T25 did not recognize the gender issue within the court order. But after that, we created a following process that allowed us to generate that space within the Auto 092, the Court Order 092. And within that court order, we created following up process to the 13 programs that the court order said that the government needed to create for women.
Organizaciones que trabajaban, organización de mujeres que trabajaban con población desplazada, dan inicio a la propuesta de la creación de una mesa de interlocución y elaboración de los 13 programas. Allí somos invitadas organizaciones de desplazados, organizaciones de afros e indígenas, y empezamos a desde nuestras propias vivencias, desde nuestra propia problemática, a insertar, a elaborar esos 13 programas, y los presentamos mediante una audiencia a la Corte. El gobierno nunca se sentó con nosotros en esa mesa a mirar o a hacer propuestas frente a esta problemática.
We created, in response of the court order 092, we created roundtables of work to communicate with the government and with other agencies about the 13 programs. Mm-hmm. However, the government never came to those tables and never discussed the issues with us.
Dentro de estos 13 programas presentados a la Corte mediante esta audiencia, vemos en él representada nuestra problemática, porque era hecho, elaborado desde las organizaciones que trabajan con población desplazada, más nosotras que éramos las víctimas, y se recogía cuáles eran las alternativas. Allí también presentábamos unas propuestas de posibles salidas a esta crisis. De inmediato se hicieron algunas reuniones con Acción Social, donde ellos también proponían un trabajo que vimos, fue muy evidente, elaborado de una manera apresurada y que no recogía la realidad, sino se estaba era recortando programas que ya existían y poniéndolos allí para como propuestas a la Corte. No recogía la realidad que se estaba viviendo.
Within these roundtables of discussion, we follow up with the problematic of the issues facing the internally displaced communities, and we try to present that to Acción Social, which is the agency that is in charge of creating the programs for displaced communities, and they decided to go with their own programs without having us included without our participation within the creation and designing of these issues of the programs.
Era muy evidente la pobreza de la presentación de los 13 programas que presentaba el gobierno, y no recogía la problemática de salud, el tema de tierras, toda la problemática que se presentaba, sino era muy resumido o era muy repetitivo y no iba a dentro de lo que debía recoger.
She's saying that the communication with the government was very limited, and it did not include all the issues that they wanted to include, as such as land issues, health, and humanitarian assistance.
I'm going to let Melanie say something here and then open it up just a little bit more to follow up. Okay?
I mean, as Ruby had made clear, I think, it's not just the League of Displaced Women. There were one of the groups that collected together the 600 cases. The court, in fact, ordered CODES, which is the Consultancy on Displacement in Human Rights, to respond to the level of compliance of the government. And CODES organized these two, they brought in all these other women's groups and also mixed groups, human rights groups and displacement groups, and they've all come together to monitor the compliance. It's a large number of organizations.
Thank you very much. Other questions here, and then two in the back. The land.
Hello.
We'll
my
come
name
back
Al-
to it. We need to get some questions.
Yeah, get more questions in that. Oh, okay.
My name is Althea Skinner, and I'm studying rights-based development at American University. I have three questions, which I know is a lot, so you can pick and choose. The I think they're pretty self-explanatory. The first is I'm interested in the distinct needs, distinct cultural needs and impacts on Afro-Colombian women. The second is that Andrea Lari mentioned the forced prostitution and the extent to which that is often a result of displacement, and I'm interested in knowing a little bit more about that and if there have been studies that focus on trafficking as a result of displacement or if it's all anecdotal, that sort of information. And finally, I'm interested in the USAID support for palm monoculture as an alternative to coca growing and what the panel thinks about that and if it has any gendered impacts.
We're going to take two more questions, and then we will come back to the panel. There are two right back here. Thanks, Janine.
Hi, my name is Alma Beltran. I come from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. And I thank you for your great expositions. I would like to know what are your specific strategies to implement the resolution of the court. I think Melanie has outlined some general issues, but I would really would like to know what are the efforts of the civil society to try to defy this comprehensive implementation of the programs, because the resolution is so good that if it will be really implemented, it will be a huge step. And another thing is the difference between recruitment, forced recruitment of women and voluntary recruitment of women. I've heard a lot of that in the NGOs reports, and I don't know what is exactly the difference that you are making in those two issues. Lo voy a decir también en español. Me gustaría saber sobre las estrategias de la sociedad civil respecto de la implementación del auto 092 de la Corte y cómo están pensando ustedes articular sus esfuerzos también con el gobierno, ¿no? Porque pues, creo que es un asunto que tiene mucho que ver con los recursos públicos que el gobierno tiene que destinar a estos programas. Entonces, ¿qué esfuerzos de advocacy están haciendo las ONGs para implementar esto? ¿Y cuál es la diferencia que utilizan entre reclutamiento forzado y reclutamiento voluntario de mujeres por actores del conflicto armado? Porque hay ahí una diferencia en los reportes que todavía no he tenido muy clara.
Thank you. And one more question before we return to our panel.
Thanks. Mine's an easy last one. My name is Jeffrey Boyd. I'm with a foundation that builds homes for vulnerable women and children around the world, including in Peru right now. We have one for 50 or 60 women who are all victims of sexual abuse. I'm a huge fan of Colombia and would love to do a project there. My question for you is, there's tons of needs, of course, around the displaced people issue. Do you see a need for temporary shelter-type projects? If so, ¿con quién debo hablar? I'd love to do a project there very, very soon.
Thank you very much. We're going to start with Alejandro. I think she's going to follow up with the question about land. Right.
Bueno, and sí, creo que es importante contestar, por lo menos hacer una referencia a lo que decía la otra compatriota sobre el Ministerio de Agricultura.
I think it's important to complement what the first person that spoke about the Ministry of Agriculture.
La verdad es que hoy día no existen programas especiales para población desplazada que sean realmente accesibles para que la población pueda volver a explotar la tierra.
There are no programs of reparation of land that are accessible for displaced communities and that they're able to return to their lands and exploit the land.
Por varias razones.
For several reasons.
La primera de ellas es un cambio en la lógica agraria del país, de economía campesina a economía de mercado.
The first reason is a change in the production mode, of agricultural production mode, from a farmer's economy to a commercial industrial production.
La segunda de ellas es que como decía María Emma, hay 5 millones por lo menos de hectáreas que fueron arrebatadas a través del desplazamiento forzado.
There are more than 5 million hectares that have been abandoned by as a cause of forced displacement.
Mucha de la población desplazada no tenía título sobre su tierra.
Many of the displaced population did not have titles for their land.
Y otra parte de esta tierra está siendo administrada por el Fondo de Reparaciones de Acción Social.
And some of this land has been dealt with by the National Reparation Fund.
Y ellos están monetizando la tierra, es decir, la están subastando públicamente para repartir el dinero entre las víctimas.
And their land retribution program is that they're auctioning the land that they have been able to take to regain from paramilitary or forced displacement, and they're auctioning this land to distribute among the forced displaced communities the money that they gain from the auctions.
Lo que quiere decir que no va a haber un programa de restitución.
What this means is there is no serious restitution program.
Además, el diálogo del Ministerio de Agricultura con la sociedad civil, especialmente con las víctimas, es casi inexistente.
And also the dialogue between the public ministry with the victims is almost not there.
Con respecto a las estrategias de la sociedad civil frente a este tema y específicamente el cumplimiento del auto 092.
With regards to the strategies of the civil society with regards to the 092 auto.
Hay que decir que el auto tiene dos caras, dos facetas.
We have to say that the order has two faces.
Una que son estos 13 programas que la Corte dice que hay que implementar.
One is the 13 programs that the court says that the government has to implement.
Y otra cara que se refiere al acceso de las mujeres víctimas de violencia sexual a la justicia.
And the other phase is the access for women that have been sexually abused to justice.
En ambas mesas o en ambos espacios que la sociedad civil ha acompañado para darle cumplimiento al auto.
In both tables that the civil society has been following the court order.
Hemos buscado la interlocución con las entidades gubernamentales.
We have sought the communication with the government.
Para ser escuchados a partir de la experiencia de las organizaciones de población desplazada.
To be heard from the experience of displaced communities.
Como de las organizaciones acompañantes.
As well as the organizations that accompany the forced displaced communities.
Hasta ahora, el proceso de interlocución con el gobierno no ha sido el mejor.
As of today, the interlocution with the government has not been the best.
Como lo demuestran los autos siguientes de la Corte en los que dice que el gobierno no le ha dado cumplimiento a las órdenes que expidió ella.
Has been exposed by the Constitutional Court in several orders, following orders that expose that the government has not complied with the first order.
Hemos buscado insistentemente que la Fiscalía General de la Nación cree un espacio de interlocución con nosotros.
We have insistently been asking for the Attorney General to create a space in order to communicate with us.
Para ser escuchadas y que los fiscales tengan dentro de sus hipótesis de investigación la sistematicidad y generalidad reconocidas por la Corte Constitucional.
In order to make clear for the Attorney General and for them to recognize the systematic and continued practice of sexual violence in the context of conflict.
Para que los fiscales de la Unidad Nacional de Derechos Humanos acojan los 183 casos de violencia sexual de los que habla el auto.
And for the prosecutors within the Human Rights Unit in the Attorney General's Office to investigate and prosecute the 183 cases of sexual violence.
Pero la respuesta hasta ahora de parte de la Fiscalía General de la Nación ha sido repartir estos casos a nivel regional.
But the response of the Attorney General's Office is to distribute the cases among the sections.
Es decir, donde ocurrieron los hechos.
This means that they're giving back the cases where the sexual violence was committed.
Donde los actores armados tienen influencia sobre los operadores de justicia.
Where illegally armed actors have influence in the judicial branch.
lo que no va a garantizar una investigación real e imparcial sobre los hechos.
This will not guarantee impartial and objective investigation about the crime.
Nosotros, de parte de los espacios de la sociedad civil frente a la Corte, hemos estado buscando ser escuchadas y que el gobierno responda en debida forma, y hasta ahora no lo hemos conseguido.
We have sought from the civil society spaces that we created to be heard by the government, but we have not achieved that.
Sabemos que la Comisión Interamericana va a hacer, o hemos sido enteradas que va a hacer un informe de seguimiento al informe que hizo en 2006 y que va a incluir parte de lo que dice la Corte Constitucional de Colombia.
We know that the Inter-American Commission is going to do a follow-up report to the 2006 report, and it's going to include some of the findings of the Constitutional Court.
Y creemos que esto puede constituir para nosotros en un mecanismo más en la búsqueda de la protección de los derechos de las mujeres.
And we know that this could become another mechanism in order to guarantee the protection for victims of sexual violence.
Y en el apoyo a la labor de la Corte Constitucional de Colombia.
And a support of the work that the Constitutional Court has been carrying out.
Thank you, Alejandra. Andre.
Yeah, very quickly, in terms of strategy, what would be on the side of the hemisphere? The strategy to for us is to have the government of the United States in its interaction, important interaction with the government of Colombia, to stress this priority of addressing sexual violence of affecting displaced women in Colombia. I mean, the government of the U.S. has very close relationship with the Colombians. They need to stress that the Constitutional Court work, rulings, and activities have to be implemented fully. This is very important. Another aspect, at political level, is that whenever there is stigmatization or finger pointing against women leaders, displaced women leaders, trying to vindicate their roles and their activities, there should be public display of support from the U.S. Embassy in Bogota. Third is more in terms of practical support, and some of the recommendations were outlined, technical support and financial support for some of the public ministry departments that can really enhance the response in terms of access to justice and in terms of access to social and economic programs. So from this side, there are a lot of opportunities, and we have been working with the delegation throughout last week, meeting officials both in Congress and in the administration, to place this issue on the agenda, because this issue is almost completely forgotten. Thank you.
Please. Just to follow up on a couple of the questions, we didn't look in detail at the situation of Afro-Colombian women. All I can say is that when we met with Afro-Colombian women, they talked to us about the discrimination that they faced in society in general, and therefore, when displaced, they felt faced triple discrimination as Afro-Colombians, as displaced people, and as women. Concerning prostitution, I don't know of specific studies. Again, when we met with displaced women, many of them told us that they felt forced into prostitution as the only way to survive. There are other dynamics of forced prostitution by armed groups, so we didn't look into that question. On trafficking, in Chocó, we were told of a rise in trafficking of women at the border with Panama. But again, there were no studies. And I'm afraid I don't know about the USAID support of palm. I know that there were a lot of concerns about palm monoculture affecting the land and making it impossible for campesinos to be able to return. And perhaps just and the temporary housing project, certainly there was a gap, there was a need for temporary housing in many areas. And, of course, that needs to be coordinated with such existing programs, but we saw that as an enormous gap. And just to follow up on what Andrea was saying, I think on the strategies of the importance of United States pressure, one thing that we have seen recently has been the impressive stance taken by the United States on the issue of violence against women internationally, but we've never heard Colombia talked about in that context, and that's one of the things that we think is necessary as a next step. Thank you.
Thank you. We've come to the end of our time here, but I want to allow each of the panelists to say in 1 minute or less, a closing remark or to respond to another panelist's statement. And I'd like to begin with you, Melanie, if you would, and we'll just go right down the table. There's any other comments or concerns you want to emphasize here?
No, I think perhaps just to emphasize the fact that it's been a remarkable response by civil society in Colombia in the face of great dangers. And so I think the need to strengthen women's groups and displacement and human rights organizations in Colombia so that they can continue to carry on this work is key, because nothing's been given to those groups. They've had to fight every step of the way. And if those groups weren't there, no one would be questioning the poor implementation of these court orders. So we need to be supporting groups who are brave enough to stand up in this way.
Thank you, Melanie. Andrea.
I'd like to leave the floor for our guests from Colombia. I think we have less chances to speak about their reality here in D.C. And thank you very much for coming.
Sí, les agradecemos este espacio para visibilizar la violencia sexual en contra de las mujeres en Colombia.
We would like to thank you for creating the space to make visible the situation of forced displaced women in Colombia.
Gracias.
Thank you very much.
Que las mujeres en Colombia esperamos mucho el acompañamiento de ustedes permanente y la mirada específica de lo que está haciendo el gobierno en Colombia con respecto a las políticas que van en beneficio de la población en condición del desplazamiento forzado e incluso, ¿por qué no?, población vulnerable, son muy pobres, políticas muy pobres.
We would like to thank you and also ask for your continued support and oversight of the programs that the government has created for displaced communities, especially women, and also for vulnerable communities. As of now, these policies are very weak and very limited, and that's why we need more support from the international community.
Y que gracias a ese acompañamiento nos garantizan un poco la vida a muchas mujeres. El Estado colombiano respeta mucho la opinión internacional y ayuda de alguna manera, sirve la presión de acá hacia allá para que nuestras vidas como mujeres lideresas y los líderes en Colombia tengan derecho a una protección de parte del Estado.
We would also thank the international community for their support, because their support is crucial in protecting our lives. The Colombian government feels the pressure in order to protect our leaders, women leaders and men leaders in Colombia, in displaced communities. Thank you.
Thank you. And Andrea?
Yes, so I think I'll mention the last 10 seconds, saying that you can pick up a copy of our report from the trip in October at the door. And if you want to follow up with us, the email address there, please send us request or message. Thank you very much.
And I want to thank again Ruby, Alejandro, Andrea, and Melanie, and our absent panelists now, Maria Emma, and also Jenny Bouvier, who joined us at the end, who organized this great panel. Thank you all for coming. Some of the panelists can stay around for a few minutes, and maybe some of the other questions that were not answered can be at least discussed. Thank you again, and a round of applause, please, for